Praise the Lord. Folks, open your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, that's where we're going to be reading from this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. And Lord, we want to seize the opportunity, Lord. We won't just want to slide through this service, Lord God, and not receive that you have for us. Because, Father, I'm confident that you have prepared a word for every person in this room, every heart in this room. So, Father, I pray over this word, Lord, that the anointing of the Spirit of God would just be upon it, Lord, that each of us, Father, would be a recipient, Lord God, of the goodness, Father, that's going to flow this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can I ask you all a question? And can I get you all just to really kind of be honest, you know, just kind of level with me this morning? You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to say anything out loud. This is one of those questions that you can answer internally. But are any of you hard-headed like me? See, the more I deal with people and the more that my life is intertwined in people's lives, one of the things that I realize is sometimes we are incredibly hard-headed. And now, please don't misunderstand that. I think we can be hard-headed to our advantage. Amen? I mean, there's some things we just don't need to budge on. Are y'all with me? We just don't need to budge. But I really believe sometimes in our lives we're hard-headed to a point to where it's actually detrimental to us. Because there are some things in our lives I really believe that we ought to move on every once in a while. Amen? Just say, listen, I'm going to change my position. Y'all there with me? So that brings us to our text this morning. Mark chapter 10, near the end of the chapter, in verse number 46 is where I want to read. Excuse me ahead of time for all the times I'm going to have to clear my throat. I've been fighting something for the last week, but we're going to win this thing in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it says, "Now they came to Jericho," end of sentence. "As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." This morning my message is pretty simple. It's pretty to the point. And it's all about sometimes, I believe, in our humanity, we get stuck in a certain position and we just won't move off of it, even though in our heart of hearts we know we should be moving. Now, whenever we look at our story this morning, a couple of things you got to understand is Jesus came to Jericho. It says, "Now they came to Jericho." So Jesus and his entourage came to Jericho. They don't tell us much about what happened in the city whatsoever. But we just know that Jericho was just kind of one of those things that he came in and he went out. I don't know if they stopped at the local McDonald's for a Happy Meal. I don't know what happened. But they just basically went through Jericho. Now it says, the next line, it says, "As he went out of Jericho." So they came and they left Jericho. Now one of the things that I want to make clear this morning is this. As we walk this life, as we are followers of Jesus Christ, his disciples, I will tell you this emphatically, that if we do not prepare ourselves for his presence, he will come and go and we will not receive anything. Come on now. If we as believers, as his children, if we do not prepare ourselves for his presence, he's going to come and go as we will receive nothing. Now, one time I was ministering and the Spirit of God gave me a word for somebody and I began to called them out. I said, this is what you're going through. And I began to be very specific in what it was their life they were going through. And I mean, this is one of those things that in a congregation as small as we were in, there just couldn't have been hardly anybody there. And so I just began to say, this is who I'm talking to this morning. And if you'll come up here, the Lord's got a word for you. Nobody came. And so after the service was over with, I thought, man, you know, Watson, you really miss the Lord. This young lady came up to me and she said, listen, that word was for me. You described everything about me. She said, can you give that word to me now? And I said, I'm sorry, but the anointing gone. I said, that period of time is over with. Are you with me? She missed something so important because she didn't prepare herself for the presence of the Lord. So the Lord came and the Lord went and they didn't receive anything. Are you all with me? It can happen to us. It can happen to us as individuals. It can happen to us as churches. I'm so thankful that I see a movement within this body of people that are saying, listen, man, we are preparing the way for the Lord. We're going to come into this place and we're going to worship Him with everything that we have. We're going to get a hold of His presence. Amen? Folks, in His presence is where we find it all. Amen. So, one blind man by the name of Bartimaeus, he was a guy that was, you know, low in the station of life. I mean, he was a beggar, and that was almost as low as you could possibly get. But he was yet one that was willing to reveal his emptiness. He was willing to endure any kind of persecution that might come his way by admitting that he has a need. And I got to tell you something, folks. This is where it really plays in to our hard-headedness sometimes, because we are unwilling to admit we have needs. And I'm just going to tell you something. I want you to look around this congregation, and if you find somebody in this room that does not have a need, I will tell you that person is Jesus. Run to Him. Come on. If you're alive, your heart is beating. Every human being on this planet has a need of some kind or another. Now, some of those needs are very difficult and hard needs, and some of those needs are simpler. Are you with me? But all of us have needs. Folks, this morning, if I sat down and made a list of all the things in my life that I have need of, my list would be lengthy. But here's a guy, blind Bartimaeus, that regardless of his station in life, he is willing to reveal his emptiness. He says, guys, listen, I've got a need. So often we sit in a sanctuary like this, and whenever an altar call is given, where the presence of God is flowing in the building, we will not get out of our seats because we don't want to admit to anybody we got a need. And to make it even more difficult is you might get to the altar and somebody that wants to pray with you looks you right in the eye and says, hey, what can I pray with you about? And you go, we've all got needs. Blind Bartimaeus was a person who just said, hey, listen, I don't care. I just absolutely don't give a rip about what anybody thinks. I've got a need. I'm going to Jesus. Are y'all with me? Now, this story, as it unfolds, you got to see a couple of things, because blind Bartimaeus is probably sitting at his station where he usually goes every day to beg for his living. And Jesus and his entourage are passing through Jericho. We don't know if anything happened there or not, but I have an idea that not much happened in Jericho. Then all of a sudden, Jesus gets on the outskirts of town and he's approaching where blind Bartimaeus is seated. And blind Bartimaeus hears the crowd. He doesn't see the crowd, he hears the crowd. And one of the things that I want to make a note of here is, thank God, God always gives us something to work with. He couldn't see him, but he could hear him. And he used what it was that he had. One of the past churches that I worked at, we had a Sunday evening service, and almost every Sunday evening, without fail, there was a young man who was paralyzed and he was confined to a wheelchair. He was probably in his early 20s, and I will tell you this, every Sunday night he was there at service, and there was an altar call given. He went to push it on those wheels because he was going to the altar for prayer. Come on. You get him down at the altar and you look in his eyes and you say, what can I pray with you about? And he says, I don't want to live my life in this chair. I want to be free from it. God can heal my legs. Pray for me. Y'all with me? He used what he had. He couldn't walk to the altar, so he used a wheelchair. Blind Bartimaeus, he couldn't see, but he heard the crowd coming. And blind Bartimaeus, one of the things he had was a pretty good set of vocal cords, I understand. So he used what he had. Come on, some of us in this room, we may not understand all the ins and outs about an altar call. We may not understand the power of God as it falls. But folks, I tell you, if we'll just go with the knowledge that we have, that Jesus and His presence is all that we need. He can overcome any situation. He can overcome any difficulty because Jesus Christ can do the impossible in our lives. Couldn't see, probably couldn't get up and run after him because he'd trip and fall, so he used his vocal cords. It says, whenever he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by, he began to cry out for mercy. He began to cry out for mercy. Mercy. We used to have this game we played in high school. Whenever I got married, I used to play with Renee every once in a while, but she beat me so often I wouldn't play with her anymore. But you know, you guys, you understand, you lock your hands together with another individual on the other opposite side of you, and you begin to press real hard, trying to bend their knuckles backwards. And if you can gain the upper hand, all that they need to do for you to release your anaconda-like grip on them is all they have to say is, mercy. And if you were a merciful person, you would stop immediately. But if you were not a merciful person, you could make them actually start to scream mercy. They go, mercy, 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 mercy! You'd walk away and say, you shouldn't mess with anybody who milks cows. It's true. You milk cows a lot, your hands will be incredibly strong. Blind Bartimaeus began to cry out for mercy. Nobody had a hold of him, but a situation had a hold of him. Are you following what I'm saying? He's going through his life. He's blind. He has this station assigned to him where all he can do is beg for his living. You see, blind Bartimaeus, I have this idea that there were times where he sat where he usually would sit, begging for alms, and he had been contemplating his condition. You ever been there? Whenever you didn't have enough money in your account to pay everything and you knew that the bills were going to be due, you began to contemplate your predicament, your situation, your condition. I've been there alongside of many people who have been diagnosed with something that is very life-threatening, and a lot of times they'll reach out to a pastor and they begin to contemplate their condition. They begin to call and say, Pastor, you know, can I come in and talk with you in your office and will you pray with me? And they come in and they begin to say, you know, I've been diagnosed with cancer and the doctor says this about it and the doctor says that about it. And they begin to contemplate it. They begin to contemplate how it's going to affect their family, how it's going to affect their job. Are y'all with me? So blind Bartimaeus, I believe on many occasions he was there contemplating his condition. You know, if you contemplate your condition and then you go, no problem, I've got a solution, and you go out and take care of that solution, like if you get stuck and you know somebody that has a four-wheel drive and some chains, you can call them on the phone and say, hey, come and pull me out. A few minutes, the four-wheel drive arrives, you chain them up, pull them out, and you're done. If you don't know anybody with a four-wheel drive, though, your situation becomes a little bit more desperate. You stand by the road, and you look very poor. And if somebody's going by in a Volkswagen Bug, you don't even look poor to them. You just wave at them because you don't want them to stop. But if somebody's coming by in a big old huge four-wheel drive with mud and snow tires, you know, you go, and you point towards your vehicle in the ditch. But let's say you're just so far out of town that you know nobody's going to be coming by in a Volkswagen Beetle or a four-wheel drive truck. Your situation becomes desperate. Y'all with me? See, so blind Bartimaeus had been contemplating his condition, and this is what he had been doing. He had been cultivating his spirit of desperation. And I think the days went on, and he said, listen, I'm going to be begging like this for the rest of my life. This is my station. This is where I will ultimately die, a poor beggar. And I believe that he came to the situation, and he says, listen, I have become desperate. Let me just tell you something, folks. Until we begin to have a heart of desperation, it is so incredibly difficult for Jesus to do anything with us. See, outside a heart of desperation, there's no faith. Are you with me? There's no reason to believe in the Word of God. Come on. See, as long as we have that answer right there next to us, it's going to pull us out of that ditch that we've got ourselves into. You know, one of the hardest things for me to do as a pastor is for someone to come into this church and need assistance and we cannot give it to them. For me to have to say, listen, we cannot help you with your rent. It's tough. We do not have an unlimited money pile. Are y'all with me? And there's sometimes we just simply have to say no. But that individual goes from this place and they're contemplating the condition that they're in and they're cultivating their spirit of desperation. See, as long as we have an answer here on this earth, there's no reason to turn to Jesus Christ. And blind Bartimaeus had come to the place where he had cultivated this spirit of desperation. And so his plea for mercy, it was a cry, a desperate cry for deliverance. I think that blind Bartimaeus had heard some stories about Jesus. I think he had heard that Jesus had some power that nobody else around the country had been exhibiting. Are you with me? I have an idea. He may have even heard stories about Jesus healing people before Jesus ever got to where he was at. Blind Bartimaeus said he had contemplated this condition, and all of a sudden now he comes to this place of desperation, and he begins to cry out in desperation for deliverance. He says, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't talking about a spiritual condition. He was talking about what was going on with his eyes. He says, I don't want to be left in this station the rest of my life. I don't want to sit here on this corner and beg for alms. I can work for a living. I'm glad that this church is not anything like the church that was following Jesus around. Because blind Bartimaeus, he finds this place of desperation. He begins to cry out, Jesus, deliver me. And the people that were around him begin to warn him to be quiet. They warned him to be quiet. Shh. Shh. I tell my dog, cállate, all the time. I mean, shut up, right? But it's kind of hard. It's kind of a hard shut up. I learned that from Pastor Wilfredo. He said, that's not a real good thing to be saying all the time. But I say it to my dog, so it's okay. It means shut up. She's out there barking at something that just flew over the house, which she does. She barks at buzzards. And she'll run chasing them, barking at them. That's why I say it. Shut up, Milo. That's what they're doing to this guy. He's crying out, and they're telling him to shut up. To shut up. But that didn't help with blind Bartimaeus. You see, blind Bartimaeus, what he had found is he had found a place of desperation. He had found a place where he's going and he's saying, man, I don't care. I am going to cry out until I get what I want. He cried out all the more, is what the Bible says. You know what that's like if you're a parent, right? Whenever you got a little one in the house and they begin to tell the in-laws something you've said out loud that you didn't want the in-laws to hear. And you tell them to hush. Shh, be quiet. Corey, be quiet. And he begins to cry out all the more. You go, take this job from me. But you have to understand, it was that cry. It was that second round, if you would, where they said, be quiet. He said, man, I ain't going to be quiet because I found this place of desperation in my life. And I know that Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, is all that can help me. So he cried out all the more, and Jesus literally stopped in his tracks. The Bible says that Jesus stood still. Hoo-yah! And so now, okay, the same people probably that had told him to shut up, they're telling him, oh, wow, did I make a mistake? Be of good cheer. Rise. He's calling you. It's amazing how people are sometimes. They tell you to shut up when, never mind. Okay. So they come to blind Bartimaeus. They said, hey, he's calling for you. And blind Bartimaeus gets up and he throws aside his garment. And he came to Jesus. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this garment. We could, because there's so much symbolism. But what we got to understand is, this garment was symbolic of his entire lifestyle. He had lived in this garment the life of a blind beggar. Okay, now you have to understand that in his day and time, not anybody could just go down to the street and beg. You had to have on a certain type of garment. And that garment was given to you so as that if anybody passed, they would know that you're legitimate. Are y'all with me? Because you have the beggar uniform. Y'all with me? And so blind Bartimaeus, he casts off this garment that was so symbolic of the whole life that he had lived up until that time, the life of a blind beggar. It represented all the restrictions. It represented all the limitations. It represented all the impossibilities of his own life. It symbolizes the mental disposition that held him captive, and it defined and determined all the actions that he would take on a daily basis. This garment was so important to him. You see, if he showed up at that corner and he didn't have that garment on, or you realize he would have been prosecuted for illegal activity. And so now he just casts it off. See, this coat that he was wearing, it said a lot of things to him. It says, I'm blind and I just can't do for myself. That's what that coat meant. Come on. That coat meant, I can't provide for myself. I can't do for myself. I can't live a normal life like all the rest of the folks walking around. I can't do it. Therefore, I'm a beggar. You know, I've told you all this, and I imagine that 25 or 30 years from now, I'm still going to be writing this book. But I'm writing a book on all the words that we won't use whenever we get to heaven. There's a lot of words we're not going to use. The word crime or criminal is not going to be there. You with me? Sickness, death, doctors, not going to be there. Y'all there? I'm sure hoping the word can't is not going to be there either. You know? I mean, what are we? We're going to be in heaven and we're going to be doing something. And we're going to look up and go, I can't do it. Oh, come on. Some of y'all are catching on to this. You see, that garment represented all the things that blind Bartimaeus couldn't do. I can't do it because I'm blind. I can't do it because I'm blind. I can't do it because I'm blind. My life, my very existence is determined by the generosity of other people. I can't make a living for myself. I have to beg. You see how blind Bartimaeus had sat there and he had contemplated the condition that he was in, and all of a sudden he began to feel that spirit of desperation come over him. I'm tired of being in this position where I can't do for myself. But this morning I want to make sure that we do something here kind of midway through this sermon. I want to kind of expand this a little bit, because this morning we could get all the way through this and all we would have talked about for the most part is blind Bartimaeus and blind Bartimaeus's blindness. But this morning you realize that there's all different kinds of blindness. Some kind of blindness has absolutely nothing to do with your eyes whatsoever. You see, there's spiritual blindness. Can I just say this? This is not in my notes. It's free. You guys don't have to pay a dime for it. And if you do pay a dime, please don't give it to BGMC. I'm kidding. The enemy of our soul this morning, Satan, desires nothing more than to keep humanity locked up in spiritual blindness. And we can say amen to that and go, well, yeah, that's for all those people that are lost out there. But I can tell you this, there are people who are born again. I'm talking about a John chapter 3 experience. They've been born again. They're right with God and they still walk in spiritual blindness. Come on. Spiritual blindness. For heaven's sake, you want to know the biggest population of spiritual blindness that takes place out there is the whole nation of Israel, for heaven's sake. They're still believing for the return of the Messiah. They don't believe Jesus was it. And they're awaiting their Messiah to come. You talk about spiritual blindness on the stage of a whole nation, that's spiritual blindness. And I understand that there's Messianic Jews, I know that. But for the most part, the whole nation of Israel is spiritually blind. They've been blinded. There's people in the kingdom of God today. Listen to this. Listen to this. A few months ago, I broke my foot. Then I got a crazy blood clot behind my leg. Months went by, treatments and so on and so forth. So when I finally went to the doctor, he releases me. He tells me I have an incompetent valve in my leg. And I said, well, your hair's ugly. I mean, if we're going to insult one another, we might as well just do it. No, he said, this valve in my leg, it's messed up, it's ruined, and so it lets blood go down to my foot all the time. And so basically what happens is by the end of the day, my foot's all swollen up every day. It just happens. And I said, well, is there anything you can do? No, nothing we can do. You're just going to have to live with this for the rest of your life. And so I just came back, and, well, you know, it's not no big deal, really. Just I have a fat foot every night. And that can be to the advantage whenever you're kicking somebody. You know, I mean, I didn't know. And you know, I was just... you know, looking at the word, and I thought, you know, God, you built that little valve back there that I didn't even know was there before I started doing all this stuff. We got valves all over we got little faucets everywhere in our bodies. And I said, God, I really don't want to go through my life living like this. I just don't want a fat foot every night. And I began to pray for healing. It's been about a month since my leg swole up. God touched the valve, healed it. He just healed it. He made my incompetent valve competent. But he didn't do anything for my doctor's hair. That was the good thing about it. You know, and I know that, you know, it's not one of them things you get up on the pew and jump and shout and say, you know, he healed the valve in pastor's leg. But I'll tell you this, there are people out there today that have been spiritually blinded and they do not even believe that God still today, this moment in time, still heals the physical body. They're walking around out there and they get an illness, man. They're stuck with what we've got here on this earth. They believe there's no way that they can reach out and have divine power come from heaven and heal them. They're walking in spiritual blindness. Are you with me? There's just people that walk in all kinds of different blindness. It's not just the blindness of the eyes. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I would prefer it to be the blindness of the eyes besides sometimes how we are blinded to the things. And because of all that spiritual blindness out there, I will tell you, there are a lot of beggars in the kingdom. You know, don't misunderstand this, okay? Because I don't think there's anything wrong with secondhand stuff. That's the way I lived all my life, was with secondhand stuff. I needed a new pair of pants. My mom would go to a box she had in the closet, and she'd say, you know, your brothers, they didn't wear them out, so you can just wear them. And
They'd get them out. She'd wash them and put them on pant stretchers. Anybody know what pant stretchers are? And then we'd put it in the room where the wood stove was, and they'd all dry out. Man, those pants were awesome, man. They were awesome. They were stiff. Yeah. Secondhand stuff is okay. But I just want to make sure y'all understand my position in this. I choose not to receive the stuff I get from Jesus secondhand. I want it coming straight from Him. And see, whenever we're spiritually blinded, what we do is we beg. We're spiritual beggars, and we get things secondhand. Are y'all there? People coming by and putting a little bit in our cups because we can't do it. Are you there with me? Now, that was a little deep place that I went off in, but I believe that the Spirit of God has already prepared some hearts in this room to receive it. I even think that there's some people in the church today that are blind by choice. And you go, Pastor, what in the world do you mean blind by choice? Nobody would be blind by choice. You see, I think to see carries great responsibility. And most of that responsibility is to change. Come on. And so a lot of times by choice we say, man, I really don't want to see. You ever been reading along in something in the Bible and the Holy Spirit just gets it, and it just gets it right into your heart, and you go, oh man, I probably should quit doing that. Well, let's turn the page. Let's go on. We choose to remain spiritually blinded because if we want to see, it carries a great responsibility with it, and that responsibility is to change. So Bartimaeus knew that to receive his sight would end his right to beg. Are y'all with me? It would end his right to beg. He would now have to labor for himself. That's why throwing that coat off was so significant. If he was going to see, it would end his right to beg. And so what he did is he threw that coat off of his shoulders. Bartimaeus, in order to receive his sight, he has to quit begging, he has to labor for himself, and he publicly made that decision. So what Bartimaeus heard of Jesus calling to him because of his condition, he was convinced that it would produce a fuller life for him. So this faith in his heart, it had really created spiritual sight. I mean, you think about that. Blind Bartimaeus was seeing some stuff that other folks weren't seeing around him. He's saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what in the world? There's some people around him that aren't seeing what's taking place. Blind Bartimaeus has got some stuff going on inside of him. This faith in his heart, it changed the spiritual sight that he had. And he began to see himself different than that beggar that had sat there day after day after day. You see, blind Bartimaeus, he started seeing himself with sight. I just share something personal with you. I've been praying for a long time for my wife's healing, believing God for it, not backing up, not giving in to it. You know, we still don't have a handicap sticker on our car. We don't park in the handicap places. We just park wherever it's available, and I get the wheelchair out and we take her in. Because I refuse to label her handicapped. Come on. And so I'm just believing. I'm believing. But the other day, I was just having a minute with God, and God began to ask me something. He said, what do you think I see your wife at right now? And I was kind of taken back by that. He says, how do you think I see your wife? Okay. Somebody who really needs your touch really bad, Lord. He said, not at all. I answered two or three more times, and I thought I was getting real close because I was giving him the best pastoral answer I could give him. And he says, I see your wife whole, healed, back to what she used to do before she had this thing come on her life. He said, now close your eyes and see her the same way. It'll change the way you pray. And I know you guys, some of y'all are going to get so mad at me for doing this. But I closed my eyes and I began to picture my wife dusting our house. Because me and Caleb just do not do it as good as she does. And never will. And you guys, how, what? Man, that's what she did. Like I said, we used to buy Pledge in the 55-gallon drum, man, because they'd have a lot of it. She just dusting and going about her duty, going over this little hump that we got from our living room to our dining room. We got a little step there that's just so hard for her to navigate anymore. I was closing my eyes, and I just seen her right over that step, go right into the kitchen. Blind Bartimaeus starts seeing himself differently. He started seeing himself with sight. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Whew. If I can get hooked up with him, man, I'm going to have my sight. And they said, he's calling you. Woo-hoo! Off comes the robe. Because he sees himself no longer a beggar, but somebody that has sight. And throwing aside his garment. That's what it says. And throwing it aside. Man, a garment that is that important to you, I think should have at least a little fold and laying it down. Maybe putting it in somebody else's care so they can protect it till you get back. But blind Bartimaeus didn't do any of that. You know why? Because he knew he was never going to come back and pick that garment up again and use it for what he had used it for all of these years. He threw it aside. He said, I'm a sighted man now. I'm no longer a beggar. And this is before he ever got to Jesus. It says he threw it aside. He got up, stood up. And you know, lest we miss this little piece in this thing, you know, that standing up there, it means that he made a decision to be different. You know, he could have said, no, just have him come over here to me. You know, it's hard, folks. And some of you right now, the Spirit of God's dealing with you, and it's going to be so hard here in just a few minutes for you to step out of your pew and come up here for the need that you've got going on in your life. It's going to be so hard. And some of you, I'm just going to tell you factually, some of you probably are not going to come up here. You're just going to sit there. See, some of you in this room need to be born again. You are not right with Jesus Christ. You're living a life with one foot in and one foot out. And I'm telling you, that is impossible to do in Christianity. You know you're not right with God. But yet, whenever the altar call is given for salvation, you will sit there because you don't see yourself any different. You don't see yourself born again. Spirit of God, reveal to their hearts what it's going to be like whenever they walk this earth right with an almighty God. Blind Bartimaeus made a decision. He stood up. He made a determination in his heart. He says, I'm going to be different. I wouldn't even second guess that there was also an opportunity there that he probably made some kind of declaration with his mouth. Like, I'm going to get my sight back. Come on. You know, some kind of declaration. In standing up, he was leaving the position that defined him as a beggar. In standing up and coming to the front of this room, because I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is going to meet us here in a few minutes. And he's going to take a hold of those needs that you have in your life. If you come for healing, if you come for salvation, if you need a financial breakthrough in your life, if you need relationship healed, if you need your mind calmed and a peace just to come to your spirit, if you're lonely and you just need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to keep you company, I'm telling you, he will meet you here at this altar. And it's your decision because he's coming by and you can stay there and you can remain silent or you can get up and you can make a declaration, you can make a determination. You say, listen, by standing up, I'm no longer going to be a beggar. He was leaving that condition behind. That condition that defined him as being blind.
talking with someone the other day that they stopped and gave a young man a ride to a destination that he was headed to. And whenever he got in the car, he began to share with them. And he confessed this. He said, I'm the first person in my family that has ever graduated high school. And whenever I heard the story, I began to think, man, of all the people that came before this young man, he's the first one to graduate with a high school education. And you go, well, that's not a whole lot. Yeah, it is. If that's what's been put on you all of your life, that your mom, your dad, your uncles, your sisters, your brothers, all of them did not graduate, but it comes down to you. You see, you've got this label on you, but he chose to rise above that. Are you with me? He threw off that coat and he says, listen, I'm not going to be labeled as someone who has not graduated from school. I'm going to get my diploma. In every phase of growth that you and I are going through in our spiritual life, it's going to require us to take a step into the unknown. Every phase, we're going to have to go one step into the unknown. A few years ago, whenever my wife and I came and interviewed here, and we felt like the Holy Spirit was calling us to Franklin, we nevertheless had to take a step. I had to fly back to Montana and actually turn in my resignation. And we had to start packing boxes. I'm allergic to cardboard. That's a joke, but I wish I was. That way we'd get out of moving. You have to take a step in the unknown. I had no idea what was awaiting me here at this church. I was not allowed to ask one question during the interview process of this church. Not one question. The board took me and my wife into the old fellowship hall there and they grilled us for like 2 hours. They asked question after question. After I'd already answered about 15 pages in type, they still had all these questions. And they said, well, let's take a break and when we come back, you can ask us some questions. I said, baby, I got some questions. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. I'm going to ask you questions so bad, they're going to make your head hurt. Your nose is going to start bleeding. Some of these questions. They've been brutal to me. I mean, this wasn't a nice interview. My wife and I went out and sat on the step over there. The deacons, I don't know where they went. They went to a cup of coffee or something. And I'm sitting out there on the porch, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, you're not going to ask them one question. I said, why not? That ain't fair. He said, because you're coming here anyway. Said, it doesn't make a difference what you ask them. I will tell you this, though. There was some of the questions answered that I had in my head. They answered them. I probably wouldn't have come here. I'd have said, forget that. There were some weird people going to church here. Still is. Including the pastor. I had to come here without knowing anything. I stepped into the unknown, if you would. Every phase of spiritual growth, we're going to have to step out into the unknown. We're going to have to go into that zone where we leave our comfort behind. Because see, right now, you may be just real comfortable with your little tushy all squished down in that pew, and it's just feeling all good. God is saying to us, we've got to leave that comfort zone behind. It's just like Abraham, whenever God called him. God called Abraham. He said, I want you to leave where you're at. Okay, where am I going? He said, I can't tell you. Just get up and leave. I would have wanted to know where I was going. Some of you out there, oh, I could have done what Abraham did. No, you couldn't have. You would have wanted to know too. Are we going east, north, south, or west? Which way? Abraham just packed up and left. There's a certain amount of unknown that we're going to have to step in. And many of God's people are missing what God has for them because oftentimes that unknown, that first step there, we're not willing to trust Him whenever we can't trace Him. Does that make sense? That is, if they can't see or make sense of what He's requiring them to do, oftentimes they refuse to follow Him. A lot of people are missing out on what God has for them because they're not willing to cast away the old garment. You say, well, what do you mean casting away the old garment? The Bible tells us we can't put new wine into old wineskins. It says we can't sew a new put a piece of new garment on an old one. In other words, sew a new piece on an old one. Because basically it means this. We have to be willing to turn loose of the old to receive the new.
I like to be comfortable, don't you? See, if some of you say, well, I don't need to be comfortable. I bet if I came to your house, your couch would have a cushion on it. And your bed would have a mattress on it. It's because we like to be comfortable. We put padding under our tushies. We had our next business meeting come up just in a few weeks. We're going to vote that we take all these pews out and we're just going to sit on cinder blocks. Some of you go, what? No. I can't sit on cinder block. Sometimes, though, folks, we've got to turn loose of the old so as we can receive the new. And letting go of the old is so hard sometimes because we're so comfortable with it. Sometimes God's people misses out on what God has for them because they're not willing to admit they're spiritually impoverished. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. Sometimes God's people are missing out on what God has for them because they're not willing to change. And let me just say it like this. Sometimes we'd rather be blind and we'd rather beg than change. Let me just make sure we all are on the same page. If you have a need in this room this morning, Jesus is the answer to that need. And if you will hold on to Him tight enough, you will see His miracle-working power come through. Because He's the answer. He's all that I need. The Bible says that everything that we have need of, He has already supplied that for us. So there's a room up in heaven somewhere with everything in it that you could have possibly needed throughout your entire lifetime, throughout your existence here on this planet, that God has put it all away for you. It's your heavenly provision. He said, if you have need of peace because your mind is just so troubled, God said, I'm going to put some peace away for her. There's probably a 55-gallon drum full of peace in heaven just for you. Only takes like a drop of it to get you peaceful. Man, there's a lot of drops in a 55-gallon drum. If you just say, Jesus, I leave my comfort zone because my mind, I'm just tormented. You may be tormented over the past. You may be tormented over what's happening right now, but you just have a lack of peace in your life. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, comes into this place this morning. And if you'll meet Him, He will put that peace in your mind and your heart.